All right, we got on the phone Ryan Steers joining us for a little chat on the BWR podcast show. So thanks for joining, Ryan. How you doing over there?
Yeah, John, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Got a little snow today in Malibu, but other than that, pretty dandy.
I was wondering about that. I saw some snow all over social, and it was pretty crazy where it's hitting. Did you, like, is it by your house, or did you just kind of see it on the hills?
It was up, it snowed a little at my house, and then like Sandstone Peak, it had a dusting at the top. You could look up in the mountains and see like a little white cap on it. Pretty wild.
No way. So is there going to be some in the morning you go do some gravel riding on?
Maybe I'll get a fat bike. I need some snow bikes for this.
You got it on the gravel bike. Come on now.
All right, skinny tires.
Those would be some great photos, and you get some killer photos on your end.
That's the first thing I thought. I need to get up there and take a picture.
Yeah. all right, well, let's get right to it. Let's talk about some Belgian Waffle Ride. How many times have you done the event now?
Oh, man, this will be the fourth year.
Fourth year. Have you done it like the last 4 years consecutively?
I have. I think I did it in 15, 16, 17, 18. So this will be the fifth year, but I've only finished it. The first year I did not finish it. So this will be my hopefully fourth finish. Let's put it that way.
All right, perfect. Let's just go straight to there. Why did you not finish? What happened?
I just wasn't. I think I underestimated the difficulty of the ride. It was a muddy year. My fitness just wasn't where it would be. My mind wasn't in it. I had some family stuff going on and just wasn't prepared for the difficulty. I think I was a little overconfident. Man, it bit me pretty hard.
Yeah, it'll do it. You're not the only one that's done that, I'll say. Coming into it, like that first year, like what were you kind of hearing about it? Or like kind of what made you interested in doing it?
I just heard it was this wacky combination of dirt and road and trails and everything kind of different. I was bored of riding on the road, and you know, there were rumors that there was a super cool ride down in North County, down northern San Diego, and we started to train. We incorporated it into our Tuesday rides at Peddler's Fork. We were like, let's start doing some, you know, throwing some fire roads in and mixing it up, and it just kind of fit where I was at mentally, as far as just being over riding on pavement and wanting to mix it up a little bit.
So, yeah, I feel like, you know, we say, like, if we look back those 4 years, obviously the whole, I mean, you know, the BWR ride is not a gravel event, but, it, you know, it's its own mixed surface, but it does have that style of riding in it. But definitely 4 years ago, wasn't too much of that going on, especially in California. I mean, it's kind of just slowly getting going compared to where it is nowadays. So, like, what kind of, like, because you're a mountain biker, like, what kind of brought you to that kind of style, right, of, like, you know, getting interested or wanting to try to do that stuff?
Just as far as, I don't know, mixing it up standpoint, getting something different under the tires. I've been doing a lot of road riding, and mountain bike racing and endurance mountain bike racing. So it was just kind of trying to incorporate both, something fun and different, and maybe the low key vibe. I think I was just kind of burned out of, you know, actual like races and wanting to do something where there's, you know, food afterwards. It's an event. It's, you know, it's more the whole event and expo, and it's not just a race to go do it. It's kind of like a destination, and I think that's what was appealing. I had a bunch of friends doing it. People were talking me into going down, and we went down. I went down with Bostrom and Zabriskie and Robbie from Peddler's Fork, and we made it like a fun group. So I think that was the big draw as well.
Yeah, that's definitely a, you know, coming from the racing side of things, The non-serious factor is a huge draw. Seems like a lot of people are kind of saying that. You know, I think that's, you know, it's almost the biggest draw. It's just like, it's fun, but you can go, I mean, you can line up this year and smash and, you know, finish top 10, and you're going to have just as fun after, I think, is then if you roll across the line 2 hours down and, you know, maybe you didn't have the best day, but like, you know, you had a good time. Like, I mean, we had a pretty good time after DK, and we both came in like pretty down.
Oh yeah, that was
sluggish.
I did all right. Yeah, the second year felt pretty good and did okay, but I think the competition over it has turned more, it's just gotten faster. I remember Lundy and I going out there, and the year Josh Berry won it, Lundy, we went 1-2-3 in that year, and that was it was fun. And now it's just, you know, there's a whole lot of road guys coming down that's really picked up the pace a bit.
Yeah, there's gonna be like World Tour pros this year. It's like turning into something like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's on like proper race schedules now. Teams are targeting it, and yeah, wow.
Yeah, there'll be like a big team doing a press release, and it's on like all the big websites, and it's like gonna hit Belgium Wolf Ride as well. You know, it's like, all right, cool, you guys are really coming.
Yeah,
but I think it's gonna be cool. It's gonna add to the event, and I think those guys are gonna be pretty fun.
It is. It's fun to see them come down and have a good time and do something different. And, you know, you're not getting that team car support like in road races. So it's fun to see them kind of get outside their comfort zone. You know, I'm used to racing without bottle handoffs and support and all that. So it's fun to watch other people not get the red carpet treatment out there too sometimes.
So just curious, like, you know, you're super, you know, strong dude. You know, you've kind of laid your claim to some local stuff. And, you know, I know you've done some pretty... You know, well, you've been top 10 at like Leadville and stuff too, right?
Yeah, top 20 at Leadville. Yeah,
you've had some good results. Like, kind of, what's your background with this whole thing? Because you're not, you know, kind of like the straightforward road race type guy, right?
Yeah, I thought I wanted to be a road racer years ago, and did some road races out east and had a good time, and then came out back to Southern California and really kind of despised it. So then switched over to mountain biking, which I did as a kid, and really fell in love with it. Up at the started doing the Rim Nordic races, really enjoyed that, and doing some of the Big Bear endurance races. And then just, you know, the longer the races were, the more fun I was having. So then I got into the longer stuff, and then found gravel racing is a fun combo of that, because I'm not a super great technical rider, so it kind of appealed to me on that front.
So what other kind of events have you like kind of done that kind of stand out in your mind that kind of get in this description of this kind of riding?
Yeah, I mean, the rock cobbler is always a blast. One is, you know, something similar to Belgian Waffle Ride maybe is the Grapes of Wrath that Sam Ames does down there as well. It's, you know, you can do it.
That's
kind of aimed to like that 28C tire. It's about 140 miles. A lot of climbing, not much single track, but the same, you know, lots of climbing, lots of distance, you know, dirt, pavement. And that's a super, super fun vibe with the camp out before and after. And it's kind of like it feels more like a grassroots BWR, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So we go back to your first BWR, didn't finish, didn't have the best day. How are like the years following that?
Pretty great. Yeah, the first year it poured down rain, and they cut out a lot of dirt, so it ended up being mainly a road ride, which was part of the problem. And then the other next year went down feeling great, and that's the year I got third. It started off, it hit the single track maybe 20 miles in, and the field just separated. It was a blast. So, you know, coming from a mountain bike background, I was able to get away pretty early. Had a really big crash at mile like 40, and then did like 100 miles all bloodied and skinned up. So got pretty lucky to finish on that one.
Sounds about right. I think there's usually always some bloody story from one of the guys up front that, you know, runs out of talent a little bit somewhere and has a battle and show when they're done.
Finish with crooked handlebars after 100 miles and, you know, kit torn up. And, oh, it was a blast, though. Those French fries at the end were amazing.
Yeah, French fries and beers go down oh so good after 8 hours.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this year. How you feeling? You coming in? Like, are you like, you know, coming in to do well? Are you coming in to ride it? Have you, you know, been putting the miles in? You go ride your snow bike tomorrow? Like, where are you at right now?
I'm feeling really good right now. This is the first year in a while I've had, you know, I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so I'm finally starting to get some long rides back in. My wife's super cool, and you know, I'm getting those 8-hour, 9-hour training days, which I haven't been able to do in the last year or two. So to get that in, I feel really good after, you know, I was starting to hit the wall at like 3 and 4 hours last year and feeling really good on the longer rides now. So excited to put that to the test and with the longer stuff. So it should be good. And I'm using it mainly just as Kanza prep. So it's exactly 1 month before Kanza. You know, it's a good training ride for that to see, kind of shake things out and see where you are.
So like, speaking on that, like, you know, you're doing the long miles, you know, some big days in the saddle, you know, I imagine you're just kind of out there just riding, you know, kind of like in that zone 2 pace, just cruising. But so how, once you get like, you know, you're obviously building that base up right now, but you know, BWR, like that first hour and a half is, it depends how the course is. It's fast, you know, it's jockeying position. Yeah. There's a lot of surges. Like, so what's your schedule look like for, you know, you're getting these big miles in now, but you know, obviously you're gonna have to work on some leg speed and some efforts. Like, when does that kind of start coming into play for you? And like, and how do you like kind of go about that?
Unfortunately about next week, the first week of March, it switches over to, I'll be doing some 20 minute and 5 minute and 10 minute and all that fun stuff. So yeah, very, very shortly. I really like the 8 hour days. But it's gonna, now's the time to really, to put it at threshold starting in early March. So that'll be coming very, very soon to get, yeah. Cause you gotta have that, you gotta get your threshold up. Cause that first hour, yeah, I mean, you're looking down at your Garmin and it's, you know, you're putting out 450 watts for that first hour on those surges, you know, above that in some cases, and in the back of your mind, knowing that you have 120, 110 miles to go and you're already, you know, way over threshold. It can be scary.
Yeah. That's like the first hour. You're so excited. You feel great. You're having fun, but then, you know, you're like, oh man, I'm going to feel this like later. So like that happy medium of like trying to balance it.
Yeah. Once you get up by Julian and you see, it's always like right by that place that sells pie. That's where I always, every year I crack there and I just see that sign for the place selling pie. And I just want to pull over and get a pie so badly. And that's that, hopefully avoiding that feeling this year. So that's always the trouble spot.
I was almost there last year, but hey, you just got to make it over that climb. You just got to get over that climb and you'll be good. And then just sit. Sit in, but it's usually a crosswind, and it's like, yeah, it's like a crosswind. You're in like, you know, in the dirt. I don't want to really say the gutter, basically the same. It's like that rough pavement, so you're not really getting too good of a draft, and it's just those killer like 3% grades. You're just like, oh man,
the big pickup trucks and toy haulers. And the last 2 years, I've gotten stuck alone on that stretch, and it's every year I'm like, just trying to hold on to somebody's wheel and get popped off right before that, and just get stuck riding it alone, and it's a lonely place to be.
So like going back to your training, like, you know, you're going to start turning it over this next couple of weeks. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to go like, you know, just do your personal efforts. You're going to do some group rides. You like have like much of a structured plan, or you just kind of like, you know, winging it with Zabriskie and he'll just go make you do some stuff.
Yeah. I've been working with a coach the last couple of years. So sticking to a training plan this year. Last year, I kind of got a little burned out and threw it all out the window and just went and rode, and that, you know, that never works out very well. I was having fun, but just feeling terrible. So yeah, more of a plan this year with the structured intervals and such. So as I've been, been doing that at 2 and 3 years ago, and it worked out pretty well. So I'm back to being a little more studious with my intervals.
So like for an event like BWR, like, you know, because you do have like that long climb, you obviously have the punchy stuff, you got like the narrow single track, like you have a little bit of everything, honestly. So
yeah, and then you have to save it all for the end on Double Peak.
And then you have Double Peak at the end that you just gotta you know, just get right over and then come down into town. But like, so what type of efforts, like a little like pretty specific, like do you find work good that you can kind of do going into the event of like, all right, I feel confident, whether it's, you know, some thresholds, 10 minute 15 20, or like, you know, what works good for you?
I like the 20s and the 5s. I think the 20s, because they build, you kind of get a gauge of where your threshold's at, and then those 5s to raise it, you know, like a good 5x5. And then you'll go
to
like,
what's like a 5x5?
So 5 minute intervals that, you know, pretty much as hard as you can go with like a 2 minute rest in between.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 minutes on, like 2 minutes off, 5 minutes on, 2 minutes off, and you just repeat that 5 times. It's brutal. And then the next time you do a 20 minute effort, you'll watch your threshold, you know, it'll tick up maybe 10 watts and you'll kind of see it go up and you'll realize it's actually done something. So
yeah, you'd hope so if you have to get through that stuff.
Oh yeah. But the 20s are like the building. I like the 20s for the building block. Go find a nice long 20 minute climb and go do that 2 or 3 times. And that's kind of the, I like to use that as the base of kind of race pace, because that's where you're going to be. It's the very uncomfortable zone that you're going to be holding for like top end of a race.
So when you going out and doing your train now, I mean, obviously, you know, there's, we all, like, everyone knows you got, like, the dirt background, you know, you're good on that. But do you, I mean, like, what do you ride when you're training? Are you riding, like, your gravel bike or your road bike? And then some days you go ride gravel or mountain, or, like, how do you, you know, do you have, like, a set schedule of, like, what you're riding, when you're riding to get ready for an event like this?
It depends on the event and the dirt. For something like Belgian Waffle Ride, I'll probably be on the road bike more, just to keep the, it's funny, your power will kind of shift depending on what bike you're on. You'll use, you know, slightly different muscles being on the mountain bike versus a road bike, just because you're the position that you're sitting on. So for something like BWR, I'll train on the road bike. I'll go, you know, Paiuma is a pretty great 20-minute climb, so I'll use that as like a 20-minute effort. Or then hit, you know, one of the, like a smoother fire road, so you can kind of get consistent power to get up there. So you don't want something, I don't like anything too bumpy or technical, because it's hard to get like that good interval when you're on and off the pedal so much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Bouncing around and stuff.
Yeah. It's hard to maintain anything. I mean, ideally you want to be on the trainers the most consistent, but mentally that's more fatiguing. I'd much rather be outside. You know, we pay a premium to live in Southern California. I want to be outside.
Yeah. Get out and enjoy that snow.
Exactly.
How do we start this? I'm curious. All right, let's put it this way. What did you ride the first year you did BWR? So what, four, almost 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2015.
Okay. So yeah, 4 years ago or so. What bike were you on then?
Oh man, I was on a very old Ridley with, I threw some 25s on it. There was barely clearance for 25s. It was my old Ridley. Ridley Excalibur with rim brakes, like a very full road setup. Road pedals, which is a mistake because it was muddy. So,
I feel like you can get away if it's not muddy with road pedals
at BWR. For sure.
Pretty hard pack. But yeah, once that rain comes, especially the dirt out there, because it can get sticky and it gained a little bit of everything. But yeah,
it was awful.
You're SOL.
I was right with Neil, I remember, and yeah, had to hop off the bike and got the cleats all clogged up, and then never saw anybody again after that. Had to try to get the mud off, and it was over.
So will you, like, if it's not going to rain, you know, if BWR is tomorrow and it's going to be sunny, are you wearing your road pedals?
I probably will. Yeah, I think the power transfer's a little better. They're a little comfier. Yeah, I like, if it's dry, I like the road pedals out there. There's so many long road sections that it's just a little more efficient.
Yeah, no doubt. So you went from full road setup that first year. What's your setup looking like this year?
This year, you know, that's a funny question. I'm still trying to decide between, I did it on the TCR disc and I really loved it. Last year I did it on the TCX, the cross bike with a 1x, and that was not, the gearing just wasn't there for that much road. And then this year, I'm tossing around doing it on the Revolt with maybe 30s on there. So I think that could be a really comfy all day bike. It's just hard to make that decision for what you really, you know, you're going to pay a price somewhere, whether it's on the pavement or whether it's on the dirt. So it's kind of, what's going to be the trade off.
To break that down a bit, like obviously, so you have a, you know, you got your deal with Giant, you know, that's kind of who you ride with. And those are kind of the options that you have to ride. So, like, speaking on those three different bikes, like, what style of bike is each of those?
Yeah, the TCR is pretty much a full-on, it's a great road bike. It's fast, it's more aggressive geometry, it's light, stiff, not overly so. The TCX is a cross-race bike, so you're sitting over the bottom bracket more, and you can whip it around, but it's a little twitchier. It's, you know, it's made to whip around a cross course. And then the Revolt is the gravel bike. So stable, upright, 2x drivetrain. So, you know, similar to the TCR with that. I think 2x on BWR is the way to go from my experience. So keeping it more upright, because you got those long miles, you know, you're in the saddle for a long time. So your neck starts to hurt if it's too, you know, if you're too hunched over and aggressive, you start to run into neck and back issues by, you know, hour five or six.
All right. So I got a good little game right here. So you got the three bikes in your stable right now. You're looking at the full road bike, You're looking at the full gravel bike and you're looking at the full cross bike. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're fast, you know, you're good in the dirt and you're going to go for, you know, a top finish. So take me through each bike and the pros and cons of each one for BWR. Cause at the end of the day, there's no perfect bike for BWR. And I've always thought like, you got to find the bike that fits your riding style for yep. what you're going to do best on. So road, gravel, cross, you got all three and you can ride each one. But what's like the pros and cons of each one for you?
Pros and cons. The road bike, it's disc road, which is a plus there. That I'd go probably 25 or 28 tires. So you got fast rolling resistance. The gearing is pretty optimal. Road gearing is fine for something like this. The downside being with 28s, there's not much tire clearance. If there's any kind of mud, you could run into big trouble there. And it's, you know, once you get on the single track, there's some tough little sections. You run into the risk of pinch flats more with the narrower tires. So there's that. You got to run a higher pressure. So potential to slide around in the sand and dirt. There's some sandy sections. So, you know, those high pressure road tires can get you into trouble. And then the more aggressive geometry, and it's great for 3 hours, 4 hours, but over that, you know, you're pretty low. So you start to hurt a little more. The cross bike, it's comfy. You know, it's a one by, so you have, it's really nice climbing gearing. You got the huge ring in the back to power up at the end. Easy to shift. It's great. You hit the sandy sections and you're flying, but on the road, you're just kind of watching yourself go backwards.
Yeah. You feel like you're still in the sand.
Yeah. You're still, and then you get pretty spun out too on the descents. You just can't maintain. You'll be pedaling at like 40 miles an hour on some of those descents and you just can't do it with a one by. And it's, yeah, great in the single track, but not as great on the road. And then that gravel bike, you have kind of the full package. It's the gearing's optimal. You can run whatever tires you want. I still like to go a little fatter for the sandy sections and the rocks. You know, there's so many flats out there, potential flats. It climbs well and it's comfortable all day in the saddle, you know, just being on it for however many hours we were out there at Kanza, but, it's still comfortable after a full day in the saddle. So can handle both things pretty well. So you don't quite have the speed of the full on road bike. You know, it's a little more wind resistance, a little more rolling resistance. So that's the trade off.
So if BWR is this weekend right now and it's dry and you kind of have an idea of the course, what would you lean towards right now?
I think I would try it on the gravel bike just because I haven't done, you know, mix it up and try it on the gravel bike. I think I'd throw some new tires on, some skinnies, maybe some of the, some 30s. And
yeah, I think 30s.
Take it from there. Yeah.
Should you do like a full slick 30? Are you looking at any tread on there?
Yeah, no, I'd go full slick 30.
All right. I don't think that's a bad choice at all.
Yeah, I think stability wise and handling wise, I think it's got potential, but yeah, I'm going to go figure it out. Probably in April, a couple weeks in advance, I'll put some skinnies on it and go ride around and see how it feels and get a good lay of the land on it.
Yeah, that's the key thing. I think a lot of people kind of like miss is that they kind of have an idea of what they want to do and what they're going to do, but they don't really try it out before.
Yeah, no, it's that's like, key. You got to try it out.
Get that set up and go find some. I mean, obviously everyone knows how to ride on the road. You can ride on the road all day, but you know, you're going to gain or lose time in the dirt and the rocks and like go find your local spot and see if that stuff really works and really push it. Do some efforts over those sections.
Oh yeah. If you think you're fine on 23s, like go find a good section of single track by your house and go try to ride it on 23s on a road bike and see how you're coming out of that. And, that's a good test right there.
Yeah. Actually. So like I always go back to this, because, you know, normally when people ride, or at least for me, like, you kind of have fun, like, in the dirt. You're just kind of, like, messing around having fun. But, like, to really push limits, I remember I was talking to John Tomac once about, like, some training, some mountain bike tips and stuff. And I was thinking about getting into that kind of racing. And he told me, he's like, don't do all your efforts on the road bike, on the hills or on the climbs. Like, go push and do a 5-10 minute effort through single track that's, like, rocky and stuff. Because, like, once you get to that threshold limit, like, you really start to test out your bike. of how it handles and where it's going. And then obviously, like, you're, you know, not all there because you're going really hard. And then that's where you can really see how it goes. Because I've done that before. I'm like, when we go ride, you know, whatever, we ride gravel or like those races and stuff. And, you know, when you're out having fun with your friends, you feel like, oh yeah, this is the best bike, or, you know, I'm solid. But then you start pushing, you're like, this thing's skirting around all around and like maybe not the best setup.
Yep. It's easy when you're ginger on the pedals and just kind of floating over stuff. It's easy to think you're fine. And then, yeah, you go hit it full speed and you just hear that.
You're like,
you're not watching where all the rocks are. You're not. Yeah. When you're on somebody's wheel going 20 through a rock garden, it's really easy to lose track of where those sharp rocks are.
Yeah. I can attest for that. personal experience right there. All right, we got enough bike talk. Like, I'm curious with you, like, what's you know, you've done a lot of these long events, these big events. How do you kind of get over like your nutrition stuff? Like, what's, do you have kind of a go-to regimen for each one, or does it change every now and then, or, you know, how do you kind of get around that? Because that's almost as big as the bike, is, you know,
it is nutrition. Yeah, I like to take the bento box on the bike. I've been doing that more, and just remembering to eat. You just get really dumb when you're out there for a long time. If I don't have it easy and accessible, I won't eat. Like, and then I get in really, really big trouble. I think that's a huge issue of mine, is getting into bonks and not being able to get out of them, because, you know, that bar is in your back pocket. Your hands are kind of numb. You can't reach it. You figure you're better off going without it than trying to dig it out of your pocket, and then before you know it, you're too far in a hole to get out of. So I think just making things accessible is the key. If it's there and easy to eat, whatever it is, just eat it and keep eating every hour and a half. Because, you know, 2 or 3 hours without food, and you start to get in trouble pretty fast.
What about like drink wise? I was talking with Neil on here, and he was talking about how he does pretty heavy carb drinks in the first hour, and then he switches over electrolytes, or like what's kind of your status on that stuff?
Yeah, I like it to taste good. Again, if it,
I'd, that's a in big the past, one right that's there
kind of overloaded mix, yeah, and it seems like a good idea, and, you know, one bottle in and you're starting to get sick to your stomach, and then you stop drinking. So just playing around with ratios and making it so it's not too strong, but there's still, I like some carbohydrates in it. Some mixes, I always throw in like little citrulline or something like that to give it like a tart taste. And then, you know, it's,
that's interesting. Like, I really heard that one before.
Yeah, a little vasodilator. So you get a little better blood flow, and it adds a nice, I think it's derived from watermelon. So it tastes like a watermelon rind. It's tart. It's a really nice, refreshing flavor if you throw that in any drink mix. Yeah, I really like it. It's a good little secret, there's your little hack there. Right there.
Little pro tip right there.
Yeah, there's some citrulline in there.
All right. So like, what about like specific food? Like do you do bars? Are you making rice cakes? Are you having donuts? Like, what works for you out there?
I like bar, you know, I kind of get into my kids' food. They're really into those like Trader Joe's baby bananas. I love those, dried figs. I tend to gravitate toward the real food when I'm hungry. You know, gels and things get kind of sticky and overly sweet, but, yeah, I grab stuff from Trader Joe's from the kids' lunchbox, and it actually works pretty well. Those little squeezy packs of applesauce.
That's another good one.
Yeah, those baby bananas are pretty great too.
What is those. A baby banana?
I don't even know.
I don't know what that is.
Tiny,
is
it like little dried. Banana? Yeah, it's like the size of like your little, like the size of a pinky finger, maybe. It's a nice little texture, like the texture of a dried fig, but a little banana the size of your pinky. They're kind of fun. And they make you smile. So
I haven't heard of any of the stuff you eat or drink. This is great.
Yeah, they're all new stuff.
All right, cool. You know, maybe I'll get back into riding a little more now that I know what to eat.
Yeah, just, you got to start packing kids' lunches, and then you'll find all kinds of fun little tasty bits.
Yeah. So yeah, we go from the pro tip to the dad tip right there.
Yeah, this is the pro dad tip right here. Peanut butter and jelly is always delicious. I like to put peanut butter and jelly in there. Yeah.
All right. All right. Before we wrap this up, I always kind of want to get in the habit of like asking, you know, our guests on the show of, you know, there's always a lot of newcomers that are coming to BWR from all over at this point in the world. It's crazy. So you've done it 4 years now. You know, you're a good rider. You know, you're a good racer. You know what you're doing out there, and you know what to expect. I want to hear your top three BWR tips to, you know, the random Joe, maybe coming from the UK, you know, that has no idea what they're getting themselves into. They're just, you know, a weekend warrior that has a job, but they want to get through it and they want to have fun. So what are your like three just straightforward BWR tips for them? It could be, you know, bike, nutrition, or whatever.
Yeah, number one would probably be pace yourself. Everyone thinks they have to be first into the single track. Don't do it. Hang back. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of road and plenty of time. You're just going to end up blowing up at like mile 50. Like this is coming from someone who's done it. And every year I say pace myself, and every year I hit that single track in the front and I blow up. So yeah, I think I need to listen to my own advice, but yeah, pace it and just go easy that first 50, 60 miles. 'Cause it is a long day. So that's probably tip number one. It's really easy to get excited in the first 30 or 40 miles. You're feeling good. Everyone's flying, but everyone's feeling good. Aid stations, grab aid, stop at them. Don't blow through, especially at the bottom of Black Canyon.
That's a big
pretty one. Crucial. That's a big one. Make sure you're good on nutrition when you hit that. If you're in a fast group, try to get to that aid station in the front of the group, because people take off on that climb, and if you're caught in the back filling your bottle, by the time the guys are leaving, you probably won't see them again.
That's a pro tip right there. Like,
yeah,
coming up the aid station, there. Get to the front, yep. Maybe do a little slight of like a joking attack, just get a little gap.
Yep.
And go in there, grab your bottles, leave with everyone. Not to rush that yourself.
Aid station early, because yeah, I've definitely been dropped there a couple times. Last one in and last one out, and then you miss that little group going up the hill. And then the third tip is don't stop. Like, just don't finish. Whatever you do, finish. I still regret not finishing that 1 year. No matter how much it hurts, do whatever you need to do to get yourself to that finish line, because you'll always regret bailing out. So
that will live with you for sure. Been there.
Yeah. It's, you know, you see everyone at the finish line having a good time and, you know, swapping war stories, and, you know, it's not fun to be that guy who just, you know, it hurts.
So I thought about that at DK last year when you guys all left and I was done.
If you see someone that looks like that, give them some words of encouragement and help them finish. You know, it's amazing what some kind words will do to somebody out there really struggling. You know, that like mental pat on the back that may be all they need to keep on going. So, you know, we're all kind of in it together. That, you know, we're not winning millions of dollars here. Like, just, you know, work together, have fun, and yeah, be nice to everyone out there. I think that's the other thing is, you know, some people come in it with, you know, like attitudes, just be cool. We're all out riding bikes, having fun. It's a long day for everyone, and just be really nice and chill, because it makes it so much more fun when you're riding with fun people. So yeah, that's my other advice.
I'd say that's pretty key. You know, all those serious, rude people can go do a parking lot four-corner crit.
Exactly, you know, yeah.
Come to BWR, have some fun.
Yeah, that's what we're out there for. We're getting, at the end of the day, you're eating bacon at an oasis at the bottom of a giant climb in a 100-degree sand pit. So,
yeah, you got to have fun.
Enjoy it, because it's that's as fun as it gets.
All right, man. Well, hey, much appreciated for the chat. You know, it's getting late. You got the kids and you got some snow biking to do in the morning. So, Ryan, you know, much appreciated. And, you know, we'll chat soon. Maybe do this again before the date comes. And, you know, have fun doing those 20-minute efforts, because
it's
going to be a blast.
Yeah, check in on me on that. I'm going to need some accountability there.
Yeah, we'll check in. Don't worry.
All right,
Ryan. Have a good night.
Cool. Thanks, John.
Yeah, we'll check in. Don't worry. All right.